two nights of no sleep because celebratory. All right, so do we want to start? At least fire up the introductions and stuff. And we can't adopt the minutes, but we can at least review them and talk about them. And so, let's get moving. Welcome to the Development and Engineering Advisory Board meeting for July 6th. I'll be your host, Steve Bacon. And start out with introductions, and since this guy just walked in, he can start with his introduction.
Andrew Gothrop, BLS engineer.
Mike Odrin, Olson engineer.
Jamie Housley, Jordan Ramos.
Greg Schaefer, Clark County Public Works Development Engineering.
Leslie Aaron, State Community Development.
Steve Bacon, Clark Regional Wastewater.
Eric Palingo, SGA Engineering.
Bob Berquist with Clark County Community Development.
Seth Holland of APS Engineering.
Today I'm not with Development Engineering.
Alright, just a reminder, meetings are recorded and they will be posted on the website. If you haven't done so, please silence your cell phone. Review of last month's minutes.
I had one question. If I could find it. Oh, here it is. And it's really not a correction or anything, but on the second page, following are discussions by Deeb, second bullet where Jeff was talking about the designations of agriculture. In the middle of that paragraph, it says, it is a whack.
I think that would be W-A-C instead of...
W-A-C. W-A-C-K.
Right. It should be W-A-C, not...
Yeah. Okay, so should that be W-A-C?
Either that or remove the A out of the sentence so it just says, it's whack.
And it's whack. Whack.
It's a good catch, Mike. You know what? I saw that. I just thought somebody was using some slang or something. I really did. So thank you.
That's the only thing I have.
Whack, whack.
Any other comments or
was that
correction?
You, Leslie, that did that? Oh, okay.
Who wrote that anyway?
It
would
have very well been me, but it wasn't this one.
Oh, it was Rosie. I've reviewed the minutes. I move that we approve.
I think we need one more person.
We need one more member before we can actually approve.
But sorry.
Might as well get the comments out of the
way.
Withdraw that motion. Upcoming events.
So through the busy month of July here, this is on the second page of your agenda. Standard Board of County Councilors work session. They typically have those beginning Wednesday morning, can be as early as 9 a.m. Check the councilor's grid for specific times and topics. BOCC hearing every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with the exception of the first Tuesday of the month typically goes to 6 p.m. Specific scheduled work sessions include community framework planning and urban holding, Wednesday, July 12th, 9 a.m. Work session on the Clark Conservation District, Wednesday, July 19th, 9:30 a.m. And a work session on the Auditor's Office second quarter report, Wednesday, July 26th, 10:15. And finally, a BOCC work session, innovative housing and Highway 99 subarea plan review, Wednesday. Oh, that sneaks into August. So August 9th, 9 a.m. For planning commission work sessions and hearings, we've got a 2017 annual plan amendments, amending the 20-year growth management comprehensive plan map and map zone. Specific as listed, and I'm going to say that is on Thursday, July 20th, 6:30 in the evening. That's it.
All right.
And we now have the quorum. Thank you, Mike.
Wonderful.
Now have a quorum, so I'll entertain that motion unless Mike has any comments on last month's minutes.
No. I guess I'll move that we... last month's minutes.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve last month's minutes. Any discussion?
No, with the correction.
With the one correction?
With the one correction.
For WAC?
Yeah, that is WAC.
All right, moving seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next on the list is the fee waiver sunsetting resolution discussion.
I can substitute for Marty on this one. Marty sent this around. We sent this around digital copy, last week. You should find a hard copy in your packets, which is a draft. The resolution that Marty is working on with the Board of County Councilors for setting up expectations and deadlines relative to the fee waiver program. You should find that to be upwards of a 3-page document. I think Marty just wanted mainly to make sure that you received your respective copies digitally, hard copy in the packet today. He does have some time on this. I think he's trying to move it relatively quickly. But if you have comments, I think Eric, you had already submitted yours. If you have comments, Marty will be back soon. I think, is it next week?
He's back on Monday.
Back on Monday. So we ask that if you do have comments following your review on this, to please advance those to Marty. So.
Did my comments make sense to you? Mainly it's that engineering piece. I think we talked about it. It was like 24 months. From a certain date, not resetting it six months after prelim. Yes.
So is that what you mentioned in that workshop?
Yes, exactly.
After prelim?
18 and 24, yeah. So it is 6 months that way, but I mean, the reality, when I worked out that timeline, it's not uncommon for engineers.
No, I know.
6 months. I would say six is the average. So you want to have something reasonable.
So you would want to change C.
Yes.
To 2 years?
Basically, that's what we had. 24 months from a fully completed application submittal.
Yeah. Oh, 24 months. Okay, so 18.
You just don't reset. It's not 16. It's not. The time frame is still the same. It just. We actually. 100.
So. Oh, are you saying just combine B and C? Is that what you're saying?
Into a 24 months so that you don't get. Basically, so don't get your fully complete application and then have the clock start for a 6 month right away.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I tried to work it out in an example. So
No. I thought that was good. That's exactly
what
we would have
said. That seems 6 months from fully complete to final engineering, basically, seems pretty quick.
No. It's 6 months from, it's 18 months from fully complete to prelim approval, but then only 6 months from prelim to final.
Right. Once you have your,
and that 6 months is way too short.
It is.
Way too short.
But, you know, we don't want to drag it on too much either.
No.
Having that 24 months.
Same 24 months.
Yeah.
And however we would want to, we meaning consultants or public, would want to break up that time.
And to be honest, once you have a fully complete application, you should have a decision before 18 months.
Yes, you should.
You know, because you're already fully complete. So they're scheduling the hearing out. You're probably 3 months out, really.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
So you should have that. Then you have a little more time to finish engineering.
So. Well, I would support that. I think that makes a lot more sense than what has been drafted.
Do you need a motion on something like that, or is that just a comment? Does the board support it?
I think Marty's looking just to make sure that any input that Deep has gets into him. So,
okay, can you pass that? I don't know.
We need a motion.
We don't think so.
Yeah, I think we should probably just to
note
it in the minutes.
Okay. Sure.
So I move that we support modify the resolution with the change suggested in my email dated July 10th.
But iterate that, please.
Okay. So let me see. We would change section 2, number C, and it would say that it would give 24 months from a fully complete application submittal to obtain final engineering approval.
That would be
6 months after prelim approval.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And it's spelled out pretty clearly in that email, so I can reference that.
Okay, so that's good. That's good for me. I'll second that.
Since we have some discussion, so just so that everybody's clear, so Leslie's clear, we're essentially combining B and C.
Into one 24-month.
Into one 24-month period from fully complete to final engineering.
Right. But I think there was some, that they wanted to have something for prelim as well. So they wanted a date for prelim. So 18 months to prelim approval from fully complete and 24 months to final engineering. And the reality is final engineering is going to control.
Oh, I see.
All the time. But they want to show progress.
Well, okay, so here's the question. Eric, so the following, so I see, I know what you're doing, but I think what they're saying is following preliminary, so you're not changing C to go to 24 months instead of 180 days.
You're changing C to go to 24 months with
total
24 months from fully complete, yeah.
Basically, C would say, to maintain eligibility, property owners and project proponents who have filed fully complete applications for preliminary subdivision or site plan approval must obtain final engineering approval within 24 months. That's what it would read with my... So you basically repeat...
Very good. Did you guess that?
Okay.
No? I'm going to have to get it off of that or the email that you were
printing. And then you would...
The email really spells it out.
And then you would eliminate C then, right?
And Marty's got it.
Well, that would be C.
That would be C.
There you go.
C just changes.
So you would take B and copy and paste it.
Yeah.
Change it to 24 months and final engineering instead of preliminary approval.
All right.
You're still using the same start time. You're just changing the end date.
When you get that done, can you send that back out to us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just the motion part?
Yeah. I just want to make sure that what is being written in here is... I know what Eric wants to do. I'm a little confused on the language. So once I see the language, maybe I'll...
So you want to wait on the approval?
No, you just want to. We have made the errors.
No. The content of the motion is still good. So anyway.
All right. So we have a motion that I can't repeat because.
And we have a second.
Okay. And we had some discussion. Any more discussion?
And we all understand what we're saying.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
The motion is to change it from a 18-month period and a 6-month period to one 24-month period that runs concurrent, and to put those all into one and say they have to have prelim within 18 months and they have to get the final within 24 months.
Yes.
But not say that the clock starts over again.
And the reason for my confusion is that it says after the preliminary approval date, you have 180 days.
Yeah, right. That whole thing has to be
perfect.
Right. Right.
That's the part.
It looks like B again.
We're going to whack that.
That was my earlier question. Okay, I'm good.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
He's going to say because he doesn't know.
Okay.
Because, so having just done a development agreement that had specified timelines in it with the fee waiver, we just did it in an alternative way, and I know what the board's already thinking, so I don't think what we are proposing may have a shot at passing.
At the workshop, they were pretty much good with it.
Yeah.
They were not with the way that we're changing it.
So you think we're going to see something totally different than this event?
No, I think we'll...
What we approved here.
Yeah.
You think what we're going to see is this?
I think we're going to see... You're going to see more benchmarks. Hmm. You're going to want the specificity.
Okay.
So if I abstain and Jamie's no, are we... Where are we?
We passed.
We still have the quorum in the house.
It's just the majority.
Yep, she's here. And I'm abstaining because I wasn't in on the discussion. So.
All right.
My apologies.
Okay.
I will pass the gavel.
I need to get your cell phone. I called you, but it's not your cell phone, apparently.
I've called you on it. It should be in your history.
It probably is. All right, member announcements.
The only thing I would like, Mr. Chair, is I think in light of, and obviously we'll get down to this with the project delivery stakeholders discussion, but in light of that and some other discussions I know that have been happening with the counselors and various staff members here, we might suggest revisiting our work plan next month in order to maybe pick off some of those low-hanging fruit that I know are weighing heavily on the board's mind.
Okay.
Have they?
I agree. I think that sounds good.
Have they passed along any specifics to you that you've heard want us to tackle?
So last month, I apologize. I wasn't here. I was in Bellevue at the BIW committee meeting last month. But that following day, Friday, myself and Jeff and Avely and Aaron Marvin from the BIA met with two counselors and Marty and Susan Ellinger and Bob Stevens to discuss some of the items that were weighing on the counselor's mind. A couple of them we had already identified in our work plan, and I think we can easily pick off. So I think maybe bringing that back before mm-hmm. this body would be good.
I think it'd be good to add it to our agenda and take a regroup, take a look at the work plan, see what we think we can, what we've already tackled, what's in place, and site distance, things like that. Where does that stand? What's it going to do to take it, move it over the goal line? Anything else in our work plan that are things that we'll implement and make real changes quickly to affect things on the ground, not only here in the county, but out on the ground in the field. So, if there are things that we can tackle that'll make a real difference fairly quickly, as Jamie calls it, low-hanging fruit. I think that's kind of what they're after. They'd like to see some improvements sooner than later.
So you'll be able to elaborate a little bit more next month?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Jeff, I'll make sure that we'll just include hard copies back in the work plan
yes.
and in the packets.
Yes.
I'll have Rosie include those, so we'll have the documents and then I think I'll just put on the agenda both you and Jamie heading that up.
That'd be great. I'd be really interested to hear if people take a look at the work plan, anything that they think that is relatively simple. I know nothing's simple, but. Anything that they think that we can tackle and actually accomplish and get something really working on the ground. So versus long term, like GMA or the comp plan or whatever, something that changes and what comes to mind or bringing that the one committee home. And
I think we have extended biennials that are going through here soon.
Okay.
So they should be.
So that should be.
But there's still a few like working items.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that we agreed upon.
So we have lands. Okay.
Actually, that'll fit well because Jan had asked for a segment on the code amendments.
Oh, good.
So he's already coming in August. So
good.
That'll dovetail well together.
That sounds great.
And also, and you see here, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but
no.
Jim and Faridun had asked for a segment on the drainage and building, and I think that definitely ties in also.
Too.
So,
very
I think
big
there's,
one.
There's similarities in all of those.
Yeah, so. I like that. That sounds good. Project Delivery Shareholders Group update. Odrin, Housley, and Gaither. What a group.
Can I go first?
What a group.
I want you to show your cards first.
I have something tangible. Do you have anything tangible?
No, because we're the big picture group. We're all like that.
Oh, am I?
Oh, is he in the minutia
detail.
Group?
Detail
group. I just said minutia. Detail. That's a better word.
All right, fine. You guys probably haven't done anything.
It figures Jamie and Ott would be in the 60,000 foot view.
We've met
just once. This is just one meeting.
And the main focus on that meeting was to go through and formalize all of the submittal checklists for all of the numerous different applications out there. What Vicki essentially did was she went through every single application checklist and noticed all of the discrepancies between them, mm-hmm. noticed all of the discrepancies between the checklist and what is actually in code as far as submittal items are concerned, resolving some questions with regards to some things that are in code, not on the checklist, and vice versa. And then with the end result being a one checklist for all submittals. Now, understanding that some submittal items won't always apply to certain applications, we know that. And when that happens in the past, simply what we do is we go and email or talk to the planner and make sure, hey, this doesn't apply here. Can we have to submit something or get an email that says it's not applicable. It took almost the entire meeting to go through this.
You combed through it deeply.
We did.
You came in. No, it was good. It was, yeah.
There were several things on here. For instance, some items that are not in code, but based on the advice of legal counsel is providing documentation that the person signing the application is signatory authority. The question there was, is that for the applicant? Because the applicant could be anybody. But more specifically for the owner, and that's usually providing, you know, if it's an LLC, then it's providing the articles of organization or something from the Secretary of State's website that says that, you know, they're listed as manager or something like that. That's come up before. It has never been in code, and I've actually had an issue with that and met with Angie and Susan a couple of years ago about that, and because they held up giving me fully complete on an application because usually what Angie did was she would go to the deed, and if the names matched owner and on the deed, then it was no problem, but this was an LLC, and so anyway, now we have it listed in here so everybody's aware of that. Let's see, I'm just kind of do some of the highlights here. We're looking to maybe have some qualifications as far as when certain things are required. For instance, on in the environmental, they talk about the center of the stream to be surveyed. Well, that doesn't work for like Salmon Creek, and that's not what the main measurement is for larger bodies of water. It's always an ordinary high water mark, so there needs to be some sort of qualification with that. When we have to map certain environmental areas, so that we're looking for some qualifications as far as, you know, if environmental areas are located X number of feet outside of a building envelope, you don't have to have it surveyed or anything like that, but you can rely on GIS information, or building envelopes that clearly avoid any critical areas, steep slopes, habitat, buffers, things like that. Clarifying some things that we have some duplication of required dimensions on site plans and plats. You know, they want us to dimension easements and then give dimensions of easements, and so there was some question about that. Some clarification on how to measure driveways, right side of the street, far side of the street. Let's see here. They wanted to add something, or they had something in code that talks about the location of the height of the proposed retaining walls at the time of prelim, and I said, basically, we don't know.
We don't know.
No. So why would we even bother at that point? Adding some building dimensions from buildings to property lines on site plans. Moving some things from the landscape plan onto the site plan, like the location, size, construction type of hard landscaping features, such as pedestrian plazas. For the narrow lot developments, they talk about indicating stormwater facilities, including roof infiltration systems. Again, we don't know that at the time of prelim, so hopefully they'll strike that. And this will require some code changes.
a lot of these come directly from code. So not only will the checklist be updated, but the code will be updated too. Clarifying when sidewalk ramps and where dimensions for driveway crossings at street intersections need to take place. That we have a separate phasing plan, just want to make sure that that can be included on the site plan or the subdivision plat, preliminary plat. Let's see, they did reduce as from, on advice from the county surveyor, when we have to do a preliminary boundary survey, this was a big one, that they reduced the, in order to meet the requirements, you either have a current recorded record of survey that meets all WACs and RCWs, or previous record of survey recorded in the last 5 years, that's a change from 10 years, and the explanation was, well, other encroachments can take place, there are other things that happen to the land, we want something a little more current than that. But then they wanted to strike, and this is what we use the most, I don't know about you guys, but use of an unrecorded survey commissioned for this purpose will be accepted if no corner monuments have been set. Survey will meet all of the requirements of RCW WAC and Clark County Code. It will be stamped and signed by the record professional land surveyor. Statement of purpose will be included. That's what we use the most. Why would we go ahead and record a record of survey before we did a subdivision?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And that's $10,000 out the door for nothing. I really hammered on that, that we need to keep that. And if there's any reason why he has a reason why he wants to remove it, then we need to talk to LSAW and some of the other, and I said, well, call our office and let's talk about it, you know, what will be acceptable. Some clarification on the archaeological information. It says a letter from the State Department of Archaeology and from DAP approving the archaeological predetermination or survey. That's not a checklist item. We want that to be, you know, that's prior to approval. So that needs to be stricken there. Let's see. Those are the highlights. There's a lot of little things in here, little detail things. In checking with Vicki, she hasn't had much time to get into that because she's been busy with other things. The next meeting that we have, I'd like to, hopefully we can have it before we all meet as a big group. But I doubt that's going to happen. It's on the 14th.
Tech meeting.
I'd like to go over process. Process items and a list of things I've been collecting over the last couple, 2-3 years that just kind of need to be worked out, verbalized, as far as not only process, but how do you say this nicely?
Think about it.
Yeah. We want staff to be consistent with their reviews and what they review and how they review it, how they write their staff reports, pre-app reports, things of that nature, that there is a well-established procedure, particularly at the time of final engineering, that every department gets a chance to do a first review, and that we don't have departments doing their first review on second or third reviews.
Or at Mylar.
Yeah.
Or at Mylar.
Which was the last
one. That's a big one. And we've already talked with some of the department heads about that offline, and I don't think we were getting the response back. We were hoping.
You were or you weren't?
Are not. We are not. So anyway, that's hopefully going to be the next meeting that we have there. May not happen before the meeting that we have, because we're all going to reconvene with the big picture group. So that's what we're doing there, and seems to be going along. Staff's been receptive.
So Mike, your next meeting is on the 14th.
Our next meeting of both groups are being brought together on the 14th.
Okay. Okay.
And I know that I'd like to let Marty know it was a little premature. I told Susan at that meeting, or Vicki at the meeting, I said, we need to meet one more time, hopefully, before we do that. But I don't think there's going to be time for that.
So the things that take code amendments, is that something that would be moving through this year, or?
I would think that once Vicki has incorporated the comments from the meeting, that, and she's been put back onto some development review stuff, so I don't know how quickly that's going to roll. And whether it makes it into the fall biannuals or not, I can't speak to that.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I certainly see the side you presented as far as how many kicks of the can you get to the review process, right? And trying, let's all work together to get it right as quickly and as few reviews as possible. But there's human beings, and then there's issues that matter and issues that don't matter. The ones that matter, life, health, safety, how would those be handled? For example, a review is completed, maybe in a shorter timeline than the reviewer wants. Nevertheless, this is the statutory timeline. It's signed, it's issued, it's under construction, and it comes to light that there's something's been missed. There's a safety issue missed. How would that be handled in your view, right? How should
in my view?
Be handled? Yeah.
Well, once
again, you got a stamp, you got an approved set of plans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you're right. There's human error.
I see your side of this. I'm with you.
Yeah, but see, and that's not the concern that we have on. The concern is that staff has bookends for which they review their part.
Timelines or?
Timelines and
scope.
And scope.
Okay.
And those bookends are a little more dynamic these days. They were way out here before. We kind of brought them back in, and now they're starting to be pushed back out again. Without, from at least our opinion, my firm's opinion, not without any support from, good support from code. Okay. Number two is that there are certain departments that are not providing prompt reviews on the first submittal for our engineering plans. And when they do comment on subsequent reviews, second, third, or at LiDAR, that significantly affects the overall timeline getting the approval of the project and ultimately construction. That might cause us to have to go back in and change something that's already been reviewed. I mean, if we have to change a curve on a road or a whatever it might be, I mean, that affects a lot. Affects the stormwater report. You know, so there's a domino effect here, and I'm hoping that this isn't the case, but the thinking for staff might be, oh, well, I didn't see this before my first review, or gosh, it's good that this came through now, missed it on the first couple of reviews, and I'll just, you know, not thinking outside, not thinking about how that affects the project overall. I have my thing to do, here are my comments, and I send them out. We get them, we're like, I mean, back me up, guys.
Well, what's the solution in your mind?
The solution, that's, you know, I think that's going to be up to management to be able to make sure that they have policies and procedures in place. We do in our office, they have in their office, to make sure that we have quality control, we have peer review, we have principal review, that they have policies and procedures set up so that each department has, in a timely manner, the ability to do their review.
Right, process, a documented process.
A documented process.
So let me speak to this a little bit.
Sure.
Because obviously we're directly involved in development engineering, but it goes beyond other departments.
Yes,
so
it
much
does.
Funnels through us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at least procedurally, what is in place is that first review is done, all the comments are gathered, and then we have also invited an opportunity or time where the applicant can come in and all the staff representative of that comes in, and actually all the comments are documented, they're put there on paper, the plans are before us, and that's the intent of that meeting, is to circle all the wagons in that meeting, both that we have satisfied all the first review comments and that we can have dialogue, discussion, communication, clarification, what's needed in that meeting, so that there's no more mystery and no more, let's say, undone from that point. I mean, that's meant to both secure all of the comments and clarification, yep, and set the expectations, yep, right?
And that's
so
great.
So that's targeted, and so I guess I would look to that to maybe define, is there parts of code that we're missing still at that point? Are there certain departments that aren't fully in sync with that meeting at that point? Kind of where are the missing links?
The missing links.
At that point. Because I would view that meeting, and the intent is, mm-hmm, not only to be, you know, functionally supportive and helpful, but also to assure that we're proceeding along as we should. I mean, it's a good barometer. What's missing? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So can we look to that meeting and utilize that to identify where maybe some of the weak links are?
Only if everybody comments on the first round. There are some departments that are not providing comments on the first round.
Yeah,
and if we have the meeting, there's nothing to discuss with other departments.
How do we know there's an issue?
That we don't even know that there's an issue.
Okay. So I guess we would need to help to specifically identify where those missing parts are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've talked about those before.
Right. We're totally with you, because that's, I've told the counselor myself, second and third review is not to be translated as second, third bites at the apple.
Right.
It is get all the bites at the apple in first review,
yes,
and actually, ideally, to even eliminate further reviews. Sometimes there's a second review because there's a little bit of an iterative process, you know, back to the drawing board, you know, a few more issues. But even as we instituted that meeting, kind of one of the primary targets was to completely eliminate third review. We actually were trying to track that for a while. How much of a difference did it make having that meeting? Are we getting some gain there where we've had the meeting to where it translates into real effect? We're eliminating, say, third reviews.
And I'd like to comment on that. I can't, unfortunately. These guys would probably be better off commenting on as to the benefit to that meeting. On the surface, it sounds great, and I'm not involved in that part of it. What I hear, though, is, what do you mean we're getting this department's comments
at the end?
It should be happening. It's unacceptable.
I know my last experience, I had probably 15 review comments on a department project on the first review, met with the reviewer and with staff. I had zero comments on my second review. Mylar's requested, and on the doorstep of signatures, I found out that there was another department that had a comment that, frankly, wasn't. It was an advisory note that they wanted to see on the plans.
Environmental.
The project by 2 days trying to get signatures, and it wasn't environmental.
Curious.
It was an engineering department, and so, you know, 2 days is 2 days, but I revised plans. Had to try to guess at the note because the person that decided to make the comment was in a conference, traded a number of emails, and frankly told the county why I enjoy working with the city more than the county. So, and it was a brand new comment. It's 2 days, yeah, it's only 2 days, but that means I revise plans, I reprint plans, I reassemble plans.
Or to explain to clients,
plans,
too.
That all adds money. It adds time. Time is money. God knows that. I mean, so.
Well, here's a frustration. I can kind of get that, but here's what I've experienced. Plans are stamped, approved, under construction. The inspector comes out and says, I don't interpret the code provision that way. Here's what you need to do. Here are the changes you need to make. Really? Yeah, really. That's painful. Under construction, sometimes it's undoing or redoing stamped and approved plans. I don't know what the answer to that is, but it's similar to what you're talking about. We all make mistakes. I just don't know what the answer to that is.
That's maybe something for another. I mean, we probably discuss that. Jamie, did you have anything about your group? About 5 minutes.
Want to give you an opportunity?
I don't plan one.
You guys had one meeting and you guys took up a lot of time here. So we had three meetings. We had one here, one out of my office, and one here last week. We had three counselors in our meeting last week, which was good. I think that they kind of got to hear an earful. So we started from a different approach. We were trying to come at from really high up on the abstraction ladder, looking downward. I think the bottom line is a bunch of us in our group felt like we can address a lot of the issues perceived or not perceived going on here as cultural issues in the county. And we have a unique opportunity with the new form of government here for this board of counselors to set out a new cultural expectations for Clark County as an entity going forward into the future, and really trying to establish some of those cultures that would be long self-sustaining, much beyond their elected offices, and hopefully establish some good stuff for the future. Primarily, we see a huge opportunity here within the county to be recognized in the region as completely business friendly. And I think maybe the best way to describe it is, instead of maybe coming in and starting from a no position, it's maybe starting from the position of how can county as a government and the private sector work together to find solutions and move the project from the drawing board into reality. So we spent quite a bit of time on that and had some hard conversations on what that may look like in terms of trying to implement that going forward. We also spent quite a significant amount of our three meetings talking about the customer service, and a lot of that really flows from establishing the culture in the first place. Again, trying to find a way that, you know, the way I would describe it is now you have like sort of the developer kind of comes in, he gets his consultant team together, and then we submit application, and like the county is kind of viewed as this regulating entity, rather than maybe being brought into the team early and seen as maybe another team member and trying to make a project in reality. So that was kind of like some of the talk about the customer service. And then we spent a lot of time also talking about the prioritization of projects. And I think the real crux of that maybe we need to establish a higher priority for certain types of quality projects that we really want to attract this community, whether it be truly job generating projects or high level master plan developed residential communities that are providing additional amenities to the jurisdiction, beyond just a garden variety subdivision. And shouldn't those maybe getting a little bit higher priority by kind of going the extra mile and doing things a little bit better? So I think we had a pretty fruitful discussion. I think we're looking forward to getting back with the small group next week and seeing if we can get together a plan and move it forward to the board. That's kind of where we're at.
Sounds to me like we're going to get to there. That's exactly what we were intending.
That was what our intent was. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You mentioned business friendly, be known as business friendly, and then higher priority. And you're probably there, going to get there, but will you clearly describe what business friendly means? I mean, how is an agency considered to be business friendly? What are the 3, 5, 7 things they do?
Well, I think
if you're not there, that's fine. I would hope that there would be some definition and some checklist that describes business friendly, because we all want to be business friendly, mm-hmm. and I think by and large the attitude in the county is business friendly. The devil's in the details.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think Tim Schauer and I spent quite a bit of the discussion over the last three meetings, kind of getting to that I think kind of the crux of that issue, you know, recognizing that some jurisdictions have had bad cultural problems in the past and have corrected that and have gone forward with a much more business-friendly attitude and doing it through concrete steps and philosophies, ethoses almost. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you go to the city of Vancouver, it sort of has resonated down from, you know, council, city manager, all through their staff, and you have an application over there, and across departments, you know, the philosophy is kind of the same. It's, you know, we just do things differently to get to yes. And then you have other jurisdictions like the city of Hillsborough, where also Tim and I have had some significant experiences in, where they've gone backwards. It was a very, you know, pro-business culture before, kind of working with applicants to try to get to yes, and now it's kind of the us versus them mentality. So recognizing that, you know, Clark County, sort of in the regional sphere, has a unique opportunity to reset the cultural expectations here with some concrete things in mind that we have identified to put into place and to move forward with, and hopefully establish this jurisdiction as the best, or, you know, one of the best places to do business in. We feel like that may take a little bit of time to establish, but once it kind of gets out to the larger regional business community, I think that that'll attract some of the other developers and other kinds of quality projects that I think CRDC wants to see and the county wants to see come into its jurisdiction. Okay, didn't answer your question.
It's perfect. Can I just throw a couple out? Just
sure.
To be specific,
yeah.
We mentioned these already this morning. Time.
Yep.
How long does it take to get approval?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when you do get approval, are you got the green light to build it?
Yeah.
Are there going to be additional reviews and additional kicks at the can to modify once you're under construction? To a minor extent, what's the cost of doing the business?
Yeah. I think that's great. I think time, we focus very heavily on time. We think that by reducing the time frames significantly, especially for the significant projects, I think that's where that prioritization, you know, when CRDC is going out there and pitching to an industrial user or a significant commercial office user, one of the frustrations they hear is they can't give those people a predictable
time frame.
But this would say, hey, you know, we guarantee, you know, in X amount of months you can get your building up or started going. And I think, again, that's part of the culture issue. So certainly that, I agree with the building and green lighting and trying to, I think that kind of ground up to what we're doing, getting those on parallel paths. And then, yeah, I think from the cost side of things, to me, cost has always been negligible, because if you could speed up the time frame and speed up not having that holding cost and not having consultants with the meter running, the cost of the project should go down sort of exponentially, regardless if you're paying more fees.
It's all secondary.
It's all secondary.
I agree
100%. So,
something that came up in the meeting that we had with two of the counselors was the attitude, you know, you said us versus them, versus the attitude of you're zoned for what you're coming in to ask for. What can we do to help you? You know, not throwing up roadblocks, feeling like you're starting with no, which I feel like a lot of times we go into our, you know, pre-application conference and you're kind of starting, you're on the defensive right off the bat. You know, it's not a team thing. You know, I look back on what we did with Columbia Tech Center, and that was a team thing that started with
and that was in
private and public. What's that?
And that was in the county.
And that was in the county, and that was Craig Greenleaf, I think, and Pat McDonald going up to the state legislature, and you know, the county really actually being a team member trying to get it pushed through because it's good for the county in their mind. That type of partnership. Versus us versus them. culturally.
Yeah, I think what you see right now is just a lot of frustration on both sides, and it's not necessarily, you know, bad attitudes on either side. It's everyone's so busy right now.
Yeah.
And what I saw during when things were slower, we were all working together and we were trying to make things change. And you had, I mean, a customer service at the county was incredible at that time. We all realized that we're in this together. And your guys' jobs aren't coming in, we don't have jobs. And people are getting laid off. And there's a sense of collaboration. Now, what I've kind of seen, just to, you know, is things that come up, like, say, we request a road mod, and staff's already so busy. And the attitude is, can't you just build it like the code says? Why do you have to request a road mod? Now I have one more thing I have to put on my list, and I have, like, this list. It's a frustration. It's not... And because of that, it seems like it's bad. You know, the customer service goes down in those situations, and a lot of times it is. It's just, there's too much work and not enough people.
Yeah,
and it just comes across that way. I don't think it's, you know,
No one really.
It's not intentional at all. But.
I agree with you, Eric. We had a long discussion about that, and I think you know, it's not just the public side that's feeling that pressure, but you know, certainly the private side as well. Just as, this is the way it is. And that's something like mutual, you know, we'll have to work through. But I think, again, just kind of resetting it and having this, you know, finding a way where, you know, the county staff can almost be integrated with the developers team to work the project through. I think, you know, hopefully that frees up, I mean, trying to reduce issues and stuff will free up less of that frustration, I think, is kind of what we're thinking. So, again, I'm very much looking forward to meeting with the small group next week.
We might just take that opportunity to go through what we want to go through.
Sure.
Because it's starting to get up to that.
Are you guys looking at road mods? At one point, we were looking at road mods.
We're looking at road mods. We need to look at road mods.
Yeah.
We are.
D-Biz.
Okay.
Again.
I knew that. I didn't know whether you're...
No. No. D-Biz. That's on our work list. And every time we bring it up, we don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Retaining walls would be another one probably to go in there. I hate to bring it up again, but I'm understanding that the review is taking like 3 months or more.
That's a structural review.
The structural review.
Right, a structural review that's engineered stamped. Yeah, I mean, is taking as long as a construction plan. But anyway, these are the low-hanging fruit that we need to look at in the next, before our next meeting. And see if we can solve some of these things that are really driving people crazy. You know, because you have full-blown construction plans and a retaining wall is taking longer to get approved than your construction plans. That's not right. Especially when it's engineered stamped and geotech approved.
Has the county thought about bringing on a structural reviewer?
That's Jim's group.
Okay. I don't know if we can even mention that, because that's something that's been brought up a lot of times, because there isn't anyone on staff. What I've heard from the structural engineers is it's extremely frustrating that they can't talk to anyone. So if there's something that they come up with and they need to talk to someone about it, we just call, you know, our reviewer and we talk to them. For them, they can't talk to the reviewers.
I thought it was Ferdin that was supplying that.
My understanding is the county's going through a lot of hires right now. There's the permit center positions out. I know they're going to bring out another development engineer.
Yes.
And I've heard that they're looking at bringing in a structural.
Well, that'd be good. Yeah. So you get the right person in that position, it's going to clear up that whole structural review problem you're talking about.
Get the wrong person?
Well, you want to get the right person. You want to get someone qualified. A lot of times you bring in someone, and it's extreme. It's a tough labor market right now. Finding a good structural engineer that's going to do review, it's not easy. So you get someone who's brand new right out of college, they don't have the experience yet. So
we'll talk.
You work under someone else. So that's the wrong person, you know.
This will come up later probably, but there's also the question of you got a geotech signing off and an engineer stamp.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Is that good enough to go? Why? Anyway, that'll probably come up later. So those are all things to these are all great things, and you guys are doing great work, but also be thinking kind of that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, we probably just pick this conversation.
We do have the developer certification program still out there, been in place for 4 years.
Yeah, I know.
Haven't seen one project come through yet. So.
No, I know. Well, we'll talk about that
different.
At the end.
I mean, the structural engineering is a little different, I think, than like what we're doing. And we've discussed that. There is some benefit to the review process for civil engineering. It's just, you know, I think the reviews have gotten, for at least the engineers, pretty good, where they're mostly code-based. But, you know, they do catch stuff. There's competing interests, and a lot of the review comments are really balancing those competing interests, not something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opinion, and usually we work it out pretty quickly.
Okay. Final plat, it will not take 30 minutes. so we're going to move this forward quickly. I've just heard that final plat, and I stand at your ear not to point you out. I have not experienced it firsthand. Our plats have gone through, but I've heard complaints that it's bogging down again, or you know, the new turning in packets versus turning in single things and multitasking and all that's kind of gone by the wayside. So I think the best thing for us to do is we had a subcommittee of stakeholders, just get them all in a room again and air it all out and just see what's going on, if anything. And I don't know if anything's going on. I've heard from a couple people, but it's secondhand, and it could just be a couple of frustrated people too. So get everyone in a room and if there's no objection, we'll just get the subcommittee together. Anyone here experienced any problems with final plats or a slowdown? Or
I'm going to defer that to others in my company that are on the group. So
yeah.
You talk to Jocelyn.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there have been some things.
There have been, and that's fine. And I think it's better at a subcommittee level where we can talk about it. We can come back, report back to the group. And we put in some wonderful improvements, I thought, and we were doing great. But then, of course, now we're probably double the workload.
Right.
And so now we've tried to make it more streamlined by packets and, you know, certain
monitoring. And we've brought some suggestions to staff that would help in those regards. I mean, a couple of them, just one right off the top of my head was, whoever is redlining, initially your redline comments, so if there's a question about what that comment
means,
you know who to contact to review it. I mean, very simple. You can do that tomorrow.
Okay. Someone from your group on that subcommittee at the time?
It was Jocelyn.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I didn't have Jana.
Yeah.
On there.
Yep, and she is. Okay. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I was just saying that it was a kind of a red flag, and that I heard from a couple different people, really just two. So, good to look at,
yeah,
and not bad to, you know, that's a key component.
Right.
That's when things really kind of hit the ground. Permitting timeframes, response initiatives. I don't see Susan.
So I know Marty wanted to be here, but he's off this week.
Okay.
And asked that both Susan and Jim pitch hit for him. And Susan has a family situation. She's been off for, I think, a couple of weeks, Leslie.
Yeah, it's Jim either.
Yeah. And so I did not know if Jim was still going to.
We're early on that anyway, so he'd show up eventually.
I'll come earlier today. He wasn't planning on being here.
Okay. Yeah, we thought we still would have Jim.
Someone here. Tell them to get a doctor.
What's that?
We are.
Yeah.
We are. The final plat I knew wouldn't take very long, other than to take a poll to see whether anyone else was having them. Sounds like there are some other issues, so we'll discuss that.
If Jim doesn't make it in, I'll schedule Marty to come back in the next meeting. I know he mentioned a number of things in our June meeting and wanted to provide you some more feedback on that, so.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Why don't we go to the public comment section, and that would probably take about 15 minutes anyway. Are there any public comments that anyone wants to talk about? I know there's something that you want to bring it up, or you want me to bring it up? Another thing that came out of our meeting with the with a couple counselors anyway was revisiting the use of engineered stamps and I'm trying to figure out, like Mike, I'm trying to figure out how you word
delicately
this.
Delicately say it.
But I
think we had just termed the program simply developer certification, where they were certifying the project could, I guess in the right way, bypass the whole review process. There's a stamp.
What
comes with it, you got to stand behind the project. Okay. Something comes up, safety-related infrastructure, we need you back in there to take care of it. So that's the
The counselors are very interested in it.
Yeah.
Well, can I weigh in on that?
You may, sure. Please.
This is firsthand experience. Again, approved, reviewed, a lengthy review process, stamped plans issued by the county. Inspector comes out and says, you need to change that.
Based on something meant wrong or based on interpretation?
Probably some of both, to be honest. Some particular one thing that was missed, but in my opinion, substantial interpretation. So here was a lengthy approval process, engineer stamp, and still, I'm not sure how much legitimacy it carried into the field. So I say that, Greg, to try and balance out. I do respect and value tremendously the perspective and benefit that the county brings to the review process. There's real value there. But if it's just, hey, an inspector can come out and say, hey, I don't think so, that really kind of cuts the legs out from the whole process to some extent. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to articulate that better, or
indeed,
provide
Dean's
a solution.
I don't know if he's, you know, if he was brought in on that conversation, or you know, made aware. I'm sure it's something, of course, he would want to take a look at or be aware of. So,
who?
Dean Chaddix.
This is structural. This is vertical construction.
No, it wouldn't be. If it's structural, it's...
But it's still under the proof. I mean, I can still bring it forward to this group, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be helpful to clarify kind of where, which area we're looking at specifically.
Thank you. That's very good.
You
good
know,
point.
So...
Yeah. I think... Be sure I'm communicate this. There's tremendous value to county review. But if you skip it, but yet you're still subject to it out in the field, why not just go through it? Why bother? So,
I can tell you personally, they did that developer certification, and I know that they're allowed. I mean, I don't think staff was really supportive of it. It was one of those, like, I wasn't going to be one to try that program out. You're kind of sticking your neck out. I think staff wanted it to fail. So I didn't want to be the martyr and be the one that submitted something. And I don't even think it's appropriate for a lot of subdivisions and larger projects. I think, you know, that you do have to go back and forth with staff, at least for one review. And then maybe go to Mylar if you can get through it. But there's certain ones where it might make sense. And if you limit it to the ones where they're low risk, you know, that said, like SFR stormwater plants.
There you go.
Those should be certified. Okay, I can stamp those. Take that off your guys.
Retaining walls. I'm sorry retaining to keep walls. Throwing them off.
Yes. Retaining walls.
How much goes into a retaining wall? They're all the same design. I mean, they're not
modular.
All the same design,
yeah.
But for the most part, you
yeah.
know, high
they're mostly modular. There's yeah. a certain grid, certain type of soil. They are pretty simple. So certain areas, they could work. But on subdivision, I think you need to have review.
I think what the commissioners are interested in hearing our opinion on would be what areas are appropriate to just take an engineer stamp, single, you know, SFR stormwater is a good example. I will throw out retaining walls because it's really frustrating to me because I there's just not much that goes into those. I mean, they're all kind of the same thing, especially if you've got good, you know, you've got your geotech and your engineer both stamping them. So I think they're interested in hearing that. If we can take engineer review down to, you know, one review. I mean, in all seriousness, you know, down to one review. You got an engineer stamp, and the county gets a shot to look at it. I'm speaking for them. What they want to be able to do is rely more on. If we can save time to rely more on the engineers that are the professionals that are doing it every day versus the county, who quite often are engineered, you know, PEs, sometimes they're not. But, you know, to shorten that length of time. And do you want to throw in here? Or?
Well, no, I think that's right. I think... they're just looking at ways to short the time, and I don't think it would be as extreme as, like, you get a stamp and,
yeah,
you know, they don't get a shot at it, but it maybe like one review, like just
a middle ground,
like a middle ground just suggested. And I think part of their thinking, and I know I've heard this from county staff, is we deal with the same problem project, you know, 80% of the time, mm-hmm, and then there's like, you know, the 20% of there's more garden variety that should be going through the system faster that we can't focus our attention on because we're dealing with either bad engineers, bad applications, bad whatever. And if we can sort of sort that out, the boat rises totally. And one of the ways to do that is giving an advantage to those engineers or consultants that usually do it right. And so when the market's out there looking at it, they can say, I can go to engineer A, you know, maybe a little bit more money, but, you know, they'll get it done right and I'll get to the system quicker, or I'm going to go see, you know, Bob's Value Engineering down the street, and maybe one of the 80%. I mean, and part of the thing is maybe that'll force some of those lesser performing consultants out of the market, which I don't think is a bad thing.
And I keep coming back to that meeting, not to beat the dead horse, but the first review engineering meeting. I think we need to really critically look at that, because okay, that, mm-hmm, that is a target on the wall, and that we don't require that meeting. We absolutely invite that meeting, though.
Yeah.
And you know, I would say that all the components should be there, at least be identified, that should make that a success. That project a success. The communication. I mean, if that thing is done right, it's either going to facilitate a successful process, or at a minimum, identify where the missing links are. If somebody hasn't come to the table yet on first review, if somebody doesn't quite understand yet a comment that's been made, that's the intent of that. I mean, it's not just here's your wad of red lines. You know, we actually come back in development engineering, we itemize, we type out every single comment relative to that, and we have a little initial block, both from the engineer and from the consultant, the applicant, you know, that should substantiate. There's the expectation, there's the communication, there's the understanding, and go from there. So why wouldn't we critically look to that meeting and say, okay, well, who's not showing up? Who's not typically giving first review at this point? You know, what seems to be the issues that are reoccurring that keep coming out of that thing, you know? So, I mean, I guess in a perfect world, that meeting would be held every time. Not always. We invite it. And sometimes the applicant will say, hey, I got the comments, I'm good, no problem, small project, I don't need to meet, we'll go through, you know. So we don't require it, but we absolutely invite it. And why wouldn't we critically look at that meeting and say, hey, you know, it should really clearly identify what's working, what's not, what's the patterns, what's the problem spots that seem to be reoccurring, you know.
What is your... how many people take advantage of that first review engineering meeting?
Diana, you typically facilitate.
Quite a few people. There are some companies that don't want into a meeting at all, so they've asked us not to even invite them. So there are some of them, you know, some that decline the meeting, but we have several, SGA, AKS, Olson, PLS, do come to these meetings.
They sound like good meetings.
They should be.
No, I know. They sound like every engineer
should. Bud, right? I mean, if we had an applicant in there that said, hey, this department gave me zero on comments, and it's at the end of first review, why wouldn't we look to that and say, hey, you know, I had the meeting, I came in there, I didn't get anything from you. First review, I even came in, you know, I met with you. Now I'm seeing this boatload of comments in third review, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? I mean...
Well, we can put some, you know, just again, reading into the meeting we were at, which I don't know if this could be a follow-up, you know, but reading into the meeting we were at, you know, we could put some teeth into the first review engineering meeting along with the engineer stamp, all come together and make changes and push things out within a first and second review somewhere in there. That greatly, I mean, that you're talking, that's something that you talk about is good for business.
It's great for business.
That's something where you say, okay, is this community and jurisdiction one that's good for business? I think that's great. I mean, the fact that you get a review, you sit down, you talk about it, you bounce it through, you make your changes. Maybe there's a little discussion after that, and then you're done. I mean, maybe that's a pipe dream, but... It should be nice to, and not have these stragglers coming in like Andrew was talking about, and other people have talked about that are you know coming in at third review, which I know we've all experienced, where you know you get these stragglers. That would move the timelines up. That would satisfy what the counselors are trying to do, which is I think make us more business friendly, more you know yes than no, not to say yes in the wrong way, but yes, you know, in a right way, what can we, great project, you're zoned for it, we got some issues we've got to deal with, but let's work on them together, you know. And
so. I think the platform for that meeting, all the components are there, that all the parts that we really need should be there. We invite all the departments that are respective of that review. We itemize all of the comments. We point to code relative to those comments if there's anything missing. So, I mean, it's meant to put all the pieces on the table and make sure that nobody thinks there's any missing pieces.
And it brings all the departments in, too?
Absolutely.
And they all show up?
I'm not their boss.
But that's where we need to, so that's where we need to put the teeth. Okay. And that's what
I'm
saying.
What I'm talking.
We got to get them to show up. I think that's a great... tool that you think about, and to get them to, you know, to show up too, and then maybe there's a middle ground between the engineer stamp and the first review meeting being a complete meeting with you know all the comments on the table for the most part. Yeah. Something to think about.
Does that help?
We can carry that over to the next meeting, but I think that's good to know. I'm a little disturbed that I didn't. I'm not sure I didn't know there was first review engineering meetings, so I don't believe. But maybe I'm just getting old. Yeah, I'm just getting old.
I was abstaining from.
We have Jim here with.
I'll say what
you want. Yeah, I saw Jim walk in. So that. Any other public comments? I know that was something that Jamie and I wanted to bring to the attention of the group. Is there anything else you want to add on that, or?
No, I think Jim's probably going to cover a lot of. Other what's going on around.
All right.
So I said I didn't have any handouts because I didn't want to promise something I couldn't deliver. So I said the under promise over deliver.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a good discussion. Fireworks on the 6th of July.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Jim, is that your writing in red?
Yeah.
Nice writing. I'm very Irish. Mine's so bad, I love that.
So I was just notified today, really. I don't know where I missed the memo. But I was coming here, but I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, Jim. Thank you.
But a couple of things real quick. So last October, we advertised for a structural engineer. There weren't any structural engineers to be hired, at least at the pay that the county offers in this environment. And we hired Faraday out of Clean Water, Faraday Safdari out of Clean Water, with hopes of eventually getting him up to structural and using his other talents for some of our other things. And we're proceeding with some of the other things relative to evaluating lots and trying to be more proactive with how things are graded, drainage works, et cetera, so that we don't end up mid to late project with bigger challenges. So he's going to be focusing more on that end of things and working with stormwater. That's going to be kind of his near-term project. All the time we've been having him work more on getting up to speed with structural, but that's not the background he came from the engineering world. And in the meantime, I decided to try again for another structural engineer, and this time got rather lucky on several accounts. First off, I actually had an applicant who was a structural engineer. That was only one of them. That was the other news. And he was very anxious to work here because he'd done a consulting stint for us for about three different days back a year and a half ago. So I was able to recruit, offer him an interview, and offer him last Thursday and start him last Friday. And his name is Ravi Mahajan, and Ravi has been a structural engineer at Clackamas County, City of Salem, and most recently San Mateo. Luckily for me, San Mateo kind of sucks, according to his wife. So he was really anxious to get back up here. He's going to move to Vancouver, and we're really glad to have a structural engineer in-house because the timelines we've had with engineering have been rather difficult, to say the least, at times, because our consulting engineers are no less busy than any of the rest of things, so we share their time. Even though we have four different ones on contract, we're still always up against whatever their other commitments are. So anyway, the good news is he's had building department experience. We don't have to bring him up in that vein, and we're putting him right to work on residential first, and then we'll just carry on. So, any questions? Thoughts?
Is he going to be working on beating the doors here, retaining walls?
He could.
That's so not retaining wall specialist.
Might be some of your guys' most immediate need. But he will, by necessity, have to work on some because, unfortunately, Faraday is taking a 2-week stint to take care of his mom.
So. Okay.
Anyway, so by necessity, he's going to have to kind of do a few different things in his first few weeks.
Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes. Oh, no.
I do have a question as it relates to engineer stamps, but I can wait to finish your presentation, or I can interject now.
Oh, no, yeah, we're on engineers, so that'd be fine.
Yeah. one of the things...
We got hecklers back there. Anybody got the tomatoes?
I may be verbalizing this incorrectly, so please help me. As far as the developer's certification process when it comes to civil engineering, from what I understand, there's a process that if a civil engineer stamps a set of plans and is willing to go through the entitlement process or permit issuance process with the county, there's a very limited review by engineers at the county level. Am I describing that correctly?
Yeah.
What level of review, Jim, do you think would be the minimum level of review that you would want to see, or the county could see when it comes to vertical construction, structural issues, retaining walls, for example, or a single family residence that comes in with an engineer stamp on it? Is there an opportunity to bypass the county structural engineering review for a building like that?
Well, I'll kind of answer that question in a bit of a roundabout way. So King County they have a preferred engineers list. I'm not sure how they're able, I don't know how they do that. We're going to ask that question because that goes to the answer, is it depends on the engineering. So if we see stuff that on the face of it starts to become, well, wait a second, there's no way that 4x8 beam is going to stretch 30 feet. We've got a lot of pages to go through if the first one says a 4x8 is going to make it 30 feet and hold up a story and a roof. So kind of going from there is like the depth of it. So with an in-house engineer, I'll answer another part of it another way. With an in-house engineer, they aren't as beholden to the contract terms and the liability that they might incur and that they're insuring against. An in-house engineer is able to take a quicker view, in my opinion, in my experience with our former in-house building engineers. They're able to take a look at it and make quicker decisions based on, do we need a lot more review or are we close enough for government? So I guess that's my answer is my idea is that our engineer Ravi, with his experience, is going to be looking at this and deciding, yeah, this, I don't need to go pick the fly crap out of the pepper here. We're good to go. An outside engineer, on the other hand, is my obligation is, and my contract and my liability might have a different level of weighting.
Yeah.
Of weight on what my responsibility is. Does that reasonably answer your question?
It does, Matt. Forgive me for dragging this out, but
we have stamped engineering that, like my maybe wild example of a 4x8 stretching way too far. So we have some engineers that lay stuff out in a well-organized manner, and it's pretty obvious that they're using accepted engineering practices. And there's others that I might characterize as obfuscating the question. Seems to be a lot of calculations. They don't seem to lead to the conclusions we're trying to draw relative to the building code. So that's the difference, is a stamp isn't always a stamp depending on their expertise and my experience. And I'd like to find out more about how King County does what they're
doing.
That's
the preferred list.
Right? Is they've got a preferred list, but I'm not sure if it's...
They probably still review it. They just have people that are familiar with the code that they can certify are familiar with.
Yeah, which I think to me means that they're able to have a made a relationship with, because they certainly, I can't imagine, have a blacklist. So this must be a whitelist. And if you're able to get onto the whitelist, but how do you get to that whitelist? I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how they cover their, I don't know how they cover their rear end, if you will, relative to making this list. But I want to find out, because that's a big county, and I'm assuming that there's got to be some logic behind having a list where the level of scrutiny provides some, being on the list provides some additional weight.
There's got to be some benefits for them to have that list.
So
Jim, I consider the county, your staff, allies in our industry. You guys are really good to work with. Really, a lot of respect for you and your team. As you know, one of the issues we've been facing on a project out in Rush Prairie is that we have stamped and approved plans, and then an inspector will instruct us that those are insufficient and that we need to perform additional work. So it's gone through private review, with private industry review, stamped engineer, and then county review with a stamp. But yet, there's still additional work that's required. My point being, I could almost argue skip the county step, because we're going to end up doing additional work anyway.
don't think, you could correct me, but I don't know how much of that is related to structural. So the only thing that the engineer stamps on those is the actual structural engineering.
I see.
So we don't have an architect.
Not the fire life safety architect.
Yeah, there's not an architect going over the rest of it, so.
Thank you for explaining that.
So the engineer just did the structural calcs.
That's it. Okay, great.
Does that kind of help?
Yeah.
And then to kind of that point, but not to take up too much of Deeb's time, I met with the commercial, all three commercial inspectors today. We're going to meet again next Thursday, and to kind of your point, I'm trying to get that group. I still have three inspectors to hire because we kind of keep going through the, we train in Portland Steels them, but we'll be hopefully fully staffed after next Monday on both the plan review side and the inspector side as far as our budgeted positions. And at that point, I'm really hoping I can get all the teams, but to your group on the commercial side, get that team more consistent and better at communicating and better at coordinating. So, because I know some of the other issues are one inspector comes, a different inspector comes, different things happen, the other guy's not here, is that guy an expert in that, and did he call the right person, blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to get all of those things kind of herded, but...
Thank you for your work on that.
It's hurting. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was short on cats previously, so I'm trying to get at least enough cats to actually call it a herd.
Great. So. Right.
Thank you.
They're not that big. We call them a sack of cats.
Sack of cats, yeah. So on to the subject at hand, permitting timeframes and response initiatives. So I brought a couple of things. This one is something that Wendy Baird in the Permit Center produced and that I edited with my rather fine handwriting, as it seems.
Yeah,
very nice. What the handwriting over there is me doing quick and without a calculator and without a calendar calculations on days. So if you find that I'm off by a number, pardon that. But you'll see when we first published, or when she first has put this on the chart back on June 2nd, we had the time frames that were, as you can see, 90, 162, and that each week since then, we've been really kind of trying to get everybody heading in the same direction and getting production as organized as possible. So with those efforts, you'll see that it's been improving all the way up where I'm sad to say now buildings behind. Before I was kind of like, well, now I'm kind of in third place, so we'll continue to work on that. But this Monday, we were a little over 4 weeks in building, but the zoning and stormwater stuff has improved considerably and is within a week to 3 weeks, so, and ahead of building plan review anyways.
Are your timelines for a review codified in any way?
So then the next sheets I have, many of you probably get this or get a link to it anyway, but I did the latest published one, and this was just for some kind of perspective on what we've had to deal with. So you'll see that I just dealt with the yearly comparisons. The yellow side is compared to the previous week. So I just did the teal side, which compares this time last year to now, and you'll see that the inspections, the plan reviews, and then the next page, the numbers on single-family permits and commercial permits. Commercial permits are actually down overall for the entire year comparison. But I think my experience has been that once we get this much residential going, that commercial starts following behind. So, I mean, not shortly behind. So you'll see that with inspections and plan reviews, we're up 28% and 51% compared to this same period last year. So that's been the challenge, is that if you go back and look at these in previous editions of the 7-day snapshot, it was even higher percentages that we were dealing with, and then trying to continue to staff up and keep staff on board relative to what we're doing. I only highlighted, because I'm the building guy, I only highlighted the building stuff, but I was kind of limited on time trying to get this out, but it also has all of the permit center information as well, where you see the land use review on the second page, and the customer, walk-in customers that they're dealing with down in the permit center.
Mike, you had a, and I'm not sure that Jim heard you, about codified?
Yeah,
he did.
He did. Maybe I didn't hear the answer.
It was a no.
It was a no. Okay.
So anyway, any questions on this? I'm going to kind of go into a couple of items that we're trying to change up to provide better efficiencies and more direct results. Anything on this?
Good information. Thank you.
We're redoing our, it might be lean 4.5, I'm not sure where we're at now. We're trying to take another look at lean. A couple of challenges we have are, but also the builders have, is with the appointments and how far out they are. So we currently take in 7 leans per day, and we take up to 2 per day from any one builder. And builders have therefore bigger or production builders, if you will. They have, they have quite a bit of work out there in front of them. They're trying to get as many appointments as they can. And then we have them staggered at hour-long appointments, which originally seemed like a great idea, but in practice, we have people that end up sitting in our waiting room for an hour that they probably don't need to stay there for an hour. And then the permit tech and the plan reviewer are each working on the plan reviews on individual lots. A while back we changed plan review where they got the whole batch for the day. They no longer sat in the appointment, they got the whole batch for the previous day, and they just worked on them as a batch. And that ended up being more efficient on that side. So what we're looking at on the permit tech side is having them also just take in the batch. And instead of individual hourly appointments, we're going to go to an appointment day. So if you happen to be building single family, you would have an appointment day of Wednesday. That'd be your day. And sometime between hours of 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., you bring your application and your plans by and submit it to lean. You don't wait there, and then if there's really minor items, there's going to be some light gray area. You forgot to put the corners of elevations on the plot plan, and Victorian Permit Center calls you up and says, get these here by end of next business day, and it continues through lean. That batch will then be done between 1 p.m. that day and 1 p.m. the next day, and then that batch will move to the plan reviewers, and they'll batch them. And we're currently going to go up to 8 liens per day, and then we're hoping to increase that to 10 and maybe more. So we're trying to make the lien more efficient, and we're trying to get liens out the door. So we're going to hold those folks' feet to the fire, because they have an added effect on the date bin. That's what we call the waiting line. If they miss out on lien, they go into the date bin. Well, if they go into the date bin, somebody who's not even eligible for lien has anybody who's in lien has added to that date bin, which is doesn't seem entirely fair. So we're trying to encourage that liens are actually brought in. We're going to be working with the BIA members and others to try to say, here's what lien is. You've got the answers to the quiz. Could you look over the checklist
and bring in the complete set of plans so that we can get it back out the door quickly. So that's, we're gonna give another shot at, hey, this is the checklist. It's pretty easy to understand. And if you'll take the time to go over it, a couple of iterations in your office and make sure that everything is in that packet, then we can get it back out the door and keep you out of the date bin. So, the other thing that we're going to, any questions on that kind of the lean 4-point, whatever it is?
Questions?
So the other thing we're gonna do is we're gonna initiate a master plan program. So master plan is, you'll bring, a builder can bring in a master plan, have it reviewed. Once it's correct in its correct form, we'll have it scanned electronically. When they next want to build that house, they will come in with an application, reference the master plan. They'll do the stormwater and land use portion of the work, and when it's ready to issue, they'll authorize that the electronic copy of the master plan is printed off. So you won't bring in a set of plans until, if you happen to have a printer, a color printer at your office, you could there, or you could go to J2 or some other printer, and we'd send the electronic copy to them. They would print it up, you pick it up, bring it in when you come in to pick up your permit. We run it through the perforator, just stamp job copy on it and out the door. So if you're building enough houses that are reproducible, it will work. If it allows for only two options, and that is a patio cover can be an option you can X out or include, and a floor plan change that doesn't affect structural or fire life safety. So you couldn't add a bedroom because you would need the window smoke detector, etc. But if you wanted to change a great room layout to a dining room, living room kind of a change, and it didn't affect anything, that would be acceptable to change the floor plan. You just couldn't affect fire life safety or structural.
That's great.
And then formally, so I just made up a name. It's just called SNAP. Doesn't stand for anything. So for once, a government agency with an acronym that doesn't have any meaning. But it's not same as. So back a decade ago, we had same as, and it was never same as. It was always something else. But it was tied to a quick turnaround and a different fee schedule. Everybody wanted the different fee schedule and a time frame, but they had no interest in whether the plan necessarily was the same as anything else ever submitted on the face of the planet. So that's why we're issuing these things electronically. If you're going to be building, for Ajo, for instance, they're going to be building a subdivision with 200 and some odd houses, and there's four or five house plans. The idea being we can keep all of that out of the lien process, out of the date bin process, and off this time frame list entirely. So those are kind of two of the main and current initiatives we're working on to try to free up the line, if you will.
Good job.
And you mentioned that you'll be getting the word out about all of this to the builders. And
yeah, I think Marty's going, do you know James, if he's going to the...
We invited him on Monday.
I think he's planning on going on Monday.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah. Good. We have a lot of guests on Monday.
Yeah. The governmental affairs. Yeah. That's where we're starting early.
Skip our normal meeting, move that, and just do guests.
Yeah.
So anyways, besides maybe a little bit on how the LMS system is working with the lean, I think it would be pretty similar to what I just described. Maybe not as colorful. You might not talk about cats and bags and herbs and stuff.
What do you call that again, please?
SNAP.
SNAP. That's great. Really. Love the name, too.
Sort of nearly almost... photocopy?
we'll have an electronic copy, and it'll just be authorized to print a color copy. So we'll mark up the master with all the stamps on it and print it in color. The only thing we'll add is our perforation that we do. So I don't know how many of you have seen our building plan, but we run them through a perforator that
lead into them. So we've had a few instances where interesting plans showed up on job sites. Many years ago.
Those weren't from the preferred engineer list.
If any of you know anything about that or have any contacts that can find out, we're trying to figure out about that preferred list. So they have it for geotechs. They have it for civil engineers. And so I just I'd be really interested in what how you qualify for it and what the whole program is.
So geotech, stream, wetland, and civil.
And they weren't able to help you out of their building department. They weren't able to help you.
I just found out about it last week. I'd heard somebody once mention it, and I was like, well, how would that work? We kind of create a blacklist. And then as I actually got a copy of it, it doesn't appear to shame anybody or call anybody out, but it does seem to indicate that if you make
maybe
the list.
By the mere fact that they're not on the list is call out enough.
I guess, but they, yeah. So I guess the objective is to try to make it to whatever milestones they put. Do you see anything else, Carolyn?
I can't even see. They've got like five criteria. I just pulled one up. I think it's geotech. So meeting the code, licensed by the state, report studies, recommendations submitted by consultant must be determined to be complete, correct, in accordance with all restrictions and regulations. For zoning, other applicable regulation, public rules must properly characterize the geology and geologic hazards, recommend appropriate mitigation if necessary, conform to restrictions and regulations. So I think it sounds
still
like it's
still subjective.
It follows the, it does say the last item is if they don't meet the top five, they get the axe. So, awful. Anyway, it was pretty easy to find. I just Googled King County preferred engineers and it popped right up.
What does this esteemed group think about it, if you dare?
Oh, I think it's great.
Think about what?
I'm reading about it.
As a preferred list.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, as a reviewer of other people's plans, I mean, there may not be a written list, but you know which engineers are going to be doing a decent job of putting stuff together and which ones aren't. So whether it's official or not, it happens just subconsciously. You're saying, well, you know,
it's going to be a long day.
Well, this person submitted the plans. I know I don't have to look for this stuff because they never try and sneak this stuff through, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Or, well, it's them. I can count on 10 reviews of this plan set, and they still probably won't get it right. They'll just wear me down.
All plans working great.
So, I think it's a great idea if you can figure out the legal hoops necessary to actually put together a white list versus a black list.
Well, they have an application, and you have to fill it out, and it's subjective.
So it's all reviewed.
Well, the PUD does it with preferred installers and contractors and things like that. I mean, there's got to be ways to do it. You guys don't.
There's a demerit system that somehow is behind there. That's like, okay, well, this is the.
You start off with an A. Everybody's on the list. And you just knock them off. Whoever remains survives.
We talked a lot about this kind of stuff when we talked about the developer certification. It sounds a little bit similar to that. And so, but we had many conversations about if y'all start with the A. And you start getting the history with someone that really probably needs to come off the list, how that could be pretty difficult. So I think whether you start off the list and try to get on, or you start on the list and try to get off, it gets kind of interesting.
The only thing that, as I read it, what it indicated to me is that if you were on the list, then things are going to get expedited.
Yes.
Or I don't know if that's the correct term, but you had an opportunity to go down a path that might have.
You got to pass go and collect $200.
Well, it's a way to subjectively show accountability I would think. I mean, hopefully subjectively.
But it doesn't deny them access. You know, it just says, we've got a path here if you show a history of being able to
follow
consistently
it,
provide good stuff.
Which helps the good engineering firms, or good engineering firms.
Well, and it helps.
In the long run, because we'll take our business wherever, whoever can get it done the fastest.
Well, and frankly, it's going to help the, I mean, any of that type of stuff. If you put the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the consultant, they, if they intend to stay in business and not go broke paying for their mistakes, they're going to start doing a better job of making sure things. Because, you know, speaking for the sewer district, I mean, we've talked about just saying, hey, let's just have the engineers stamp things and say, I certify that the plans here meet every, you know, all of your standards, and then we'll just correct it in the field. And when the inspector sees somebody doing something wrong, they'll tell them to yank it out and redo it. Your engineer was wrong. You know, it's not an efficient way. It's not good for the developers because it's taken a lot longer to do, but in the end, you'd end up with a much better system, but it would be painful getting there, and nobody wants to do that. You know, nobody wants to deal with having the corrections to the plan happen in the field with the contractor already on site.
Maybe stuff there's a middle ground.
So,
but you end up in our case, like in the civil side, you end up with a technician arguing with it.
I like the first review.
It's a bit of an unequal relationship. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the same parallel that building inspectors, because you guys have all your certifications, but that was part of the discussion
that
we had.
That would save
the
2 months at least.
Yeah, that's
it pushes engineering as much to the field. It can't for the not great.
Or it can try to experiment with building plan review, where you could have an architect stamp the plans, and then you wouldn't be subject necessarily to plan review. It ended up failing because of just what you were talking about. It was basically go ahead and build it, and then as soon as it started to get built in the field and stuff started to have to be taken apart, and especially on the structural end of things, so you start removing the main glue lam across the living space, at framing inspection, pretty much you're tearing down the house. So it didn't last very long, unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on your perspective. But
well, it sounds good. It sounds like you're doing. Are you crossing over right now, filling in on the building permit center as well? It sounds like you are a bit, just while there's a...
Well,
now that he's fully staffed,
I'm plenty busy up in building. Thankfully, Bob's been helping out.
Well, the permit center, whatever you want.
Yeah. Bob's been kind of helping out this week. Yeah. Susan Ellinger has been kind of holding down the fort, and then Marty has interviews upcoming. So I had both groups for 3 or 4 years, and it's a bit of a challenge, the upstairs downstairs thing.
Yeah.
I tried many iterations till Marty finally told me that Bill Barron told me I had to sit down and be quiet. I kept trying to promote the building and permit center on the same floor so that everybody could feed it.
We get you a fire pole.
So because Brett has been assigned to manage the permit center in addition to his other duties until we get the new person on board, and there's so many people gone this week.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Guys have been doing a great job filling in and
so coming up with some solutions. I've been working with all the other folks, permit center, all the other managers, trying to kind of get some of the efficiencies done. And Marty asked for, and the staff made a great effort 3 weekends ago. We got a really good percentage of our permit and plan review staff in on us on a nice sunny summer Saturday, spend the whole day just trying to get through plans. People who weren't necessarily plan reviewers came in and did stamping on the second set of plans. The plan reviewer got done with something, turned it over to somebody else who finished the processing, and so they really kind of did a big push, but Marty is kind of behind getting that put together on a Saturday, and everybody stepped up to the plate. Everybody was available. It was a good turnout. So it's not just us, but the staff's really kind of realized, we have to figure out a way to get out of this hole.
Maybe talk about that.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
All right. So we went through public comment. Any other public comment?
The only thing I wanted to see, did everybody catch the article on growth?
Yeah.
Which one? What did it say?
2.17.
Wow.
We grew 10,000 in population. Mm-hmm. There's a.
So you mean we actually have evidence now from what we've been saying all along?
Yeah, we are outpacing. Trevor Hayward, a lot of you know, revels in these numbers, and he has a blog spot. And the county's on track to run completely out of land for housing within 10 years, growing 1.7 times faster than planned. This rate, 2035, population target of 577,431, more than 8 years ahead of schedule. Anyway, interesting numbers that came out, and appears to be an article.
Yeah, it was a great article. I was kind of laughing at it because I have to give former commissioner Mr. Stewart a bad time because Ridgefield got lapped by Camas this last year.
Yeah. Oh, they're not going to like that at all. They're not going to like that at all.
He seems to have a friendly jest with his mayor out there at Camas. But in all seriousness, it's really telling, and I think it's kind of, I think describes a lot of the permit issues and difficulty we're having here. We are in a growing community, and
did you hear Terry Woolham on OPB?
No.
He just on OPB 3 days ago, I think. Days in the holiday weekend kind of blur, but as you can tell by my face, sometimes I wasn't paying entire attention. But he was on there about the growth and what this side of the river has to offer and is offering the greater Portland metro area is like affordability, good community, a whole bunch of things where over there affordability is
non-existent.
Yeah. So it was a pretty decent interview, and probably can go find it if you
Google it.
Search Terry Woolham or Polish Homes was mentioned on OPB, is in the last few days.
Interesting times. Anything else? All right. We're adjourned. Thank you all. See you in August. Have a great July.
I'm going to talk to Steve on your health.
Oh, you did?
Thank you.
What did he say?
He said 48.